Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of Stochastic Gradient Descent with Sagar and Corey. Stochastic Gradient Descent is a podcast hosted during the great quarantine of the 2020s by your hosts, Sagar and Corey, to University of Texas at Austin, Master of Science in Business Analytics graduates from 2019. God, that's a mouthful. So this show's first season aims to be a glorified audio diary of us catching up with our fellow MSBA alum in a semi-informal setting and finding out what they've done since graduation. Now, our second guest on the episode is someone we all know pretty well. It's Mark Babby. And so Mark is a data scientist for Chevron, the energy company. And Mark's notoriety really comes from being both the bridge student as well as the guy with the green shirt in Dr. Joydeep Ghosh's class.
Funny you say that, Corey, because I remember Mark as the stranger who casually walked into the MSBA classroom one day during fall and introduced himself as a bridge student. So a bridge student is someone who does the summer semester and then comes back the next year and does fall with us. And I remember my first words to Corey were, "Burn the bridges." But then definitely we did not burn them. And Mark became a good friend. Also,
That's right. A
fun fact about Mark, I'll let you share this one, Corey. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Mark is one of the handful of guys in the program who actually got into a relationship during the year, which was a great development for everyone in the program. And that's because Sagar's love life really started to get boring during the spring semester. So most of us kind of naturally gravitated to Mark and his blind date, and then the subsequent dates after that. Actually, to kind of prove that, I do want to share a clip that we had from Amy last week.
I will say, his girlfriend that he's with now, I came up with their first date idea.
You did?
Can you please include that in the episode?
So before we get started with the show, how do you want to thank Amy, Mark?
I have to say, she did all the heavy lifting for me. You know, we had a first date set up, slid into my now girlfriend's Instagram DMs, and kind of had a panic attack. And so Amy, because Amy was on a mission to eat at every restaurant in Austin. And so she recommended Mozart's, the coffee shop that I meet this person on who I've never met. And the rest is history. We've been together a year and a half now. So shout out to Amy for the coffee recommendation.
Love is in the air, Corey.
And only the coffee recommendation, I guess.
Yeah, it was all me from there.
All right. Okay. Sure.
Before we begin, Mark, why don't you say hi to our fellow listeners and introduce yourself?
Alrighty. Well, hello everyone. My name is Mark Babby. I graduated with Sagar and Corey in May of 2019 from the MSBA program. And then shortly after started at Chevron in the beginning of August and have been there since. I've been quarantined working from home since March now. So my home is now my office, actually my bedroom. I roll out of bed, hop right into my chair and make it to my meeting by about 30 seconds, my first meeting. That's about it. I enjoy, you know, hanging out with my friends, exploring Houston. I've never lived here before. There's not a whole lot to do now that it's, quarantine season, but just been coding away and watching Netflix religiously.
Wow, that's a solid routine, Mark. And I must say, 30 seconds is a large gap that you have. I barely make it to my meetings. You know, well done.
I know.
I'm actually worse. But okay, so we all know how fond of you are of your, you know, physique. And so we've heard that you've started doing some martial arts since the program ended. How true is that?
That is very true. I actually did some Taekwondo in high school and, took a 6-year break from any form of martial arts. So when I moved to Houston, I thought, why don't I try out Muay Thai? And so I've been doing that the last year on and off. I taken a couple breaks. One because I had a lipoma removed on my back, and the other because I broke my leg skiing. So
that's right.
I've had some breaks, but I've been on and off for about a year now. But it's a blast. It keeps me in good shape, and you know, teaches me how to fend off, you know, the zombies.
So do you actually fight people, or is it just a dummy crash testing human?
Now we, on weekends, we have sparring, actually, where we actually get to go live against other people. And because I'm one of the beginners, I often get beat up on Saturdays. So that's a lot of fun.
Hard to believe, but okay.
So, Mark, during quarantine, are you still doing Muay Thai?
I'm still on one of my breaks from an injury, but yes,
right.
I actually plan to go back in a week or two. The gym closed down for probably a month to 2 months, and they did Zoom meetings, which, like, it's not the same to do Zoom, especially when you don't have, you know, the proper equipment in your bedroom, that they don't have the gloves, the bags, all the weights and whatnot. So, but yeah. He's been cleaning his dojo, you know, kind of religiously. So assured everybody it's clean, and he still holds the Zoom calls, and so you can still go in every day, which is pretty neat.
Fair enough. I guess your bum leg kind of happened at the right time.
Yeah, so believe it or not, I've been quarantining a week longer than everybody else at Chevron.
Hmm.
So I took, you know, a couple vacation days to go skiing, and then I emailed my boss and said, hey, I can't drive to work because it's my right leg. What do you want me to do? And he was like, you can work from home this week. So I did that. And then on that, you know, Saturday, we got told, hey, we're going to start quarantining because of this coronavirus thing. And I have yet to go back. So I do have a week on, everybody, because of my broken leg.
Very fortunate and unfortunate. I mean, how's your leg?
Right?
Is it all right now?
Yeah. My leg's better. I've been able to go back to Muay Thai since. So it still kind of hurts. I bought an ankle brace. Doesn't really help, but mm-hmm. You know, what can you do?
So fun fact here, listeners, is that Mark and Corey work for the same organization, but in very different locations. So Mark, how would you say your job differs from Corey's? Whose is boring?
Ooh, well, we're in different states, different time zones, which makes it often difficult to reach Corey over Microsoft Teams when I'm bored in the morning because he's usually still asleep.
Hey, man.
I definitely am. Right, and sometimes you'll message me after I'm off, but I've got it on my phone now, so, you know, what the heck, I can still respond. But in terms of how it's different, Corey, I believe you work in downstream.
That's correct. Well,
yeah, which,
for now,
who knows what the future holds.
Right.
And I work in upstream. And so, I guess where Corey, you know, I can't speak specifically to what you do, but downstream is more, you know, the end result of, you know, oil and gas, whether it be sales, whether it be, optimizing gas prices or things like that. I work in upstream where, you know, we deal with actual drilling equipment. One of the projects I'm on is we actually look at live drilling data. And so actually getting the oil and gas out of the ground. So we're kind of two different ends of the oil and gas spectrum. But, you know, both have to use data science, which is pretty cool. You know, how many different problems data science is, you know, applicable to.
Wow. And when would you say, do you want to get relocated to San Ramon, or do you want Corey to move to Houston?
So I think Corey knows the answer to that. I don't think I'm ever going to live in California.
You're crazy.
Yeah, really hoping, you know, Corey can relocate to Houston as soon as possible, especially because, you know, a lot of the data scientists are here, and also, you know, other MSBA alum other than us two are working in the Houston office, which is pretty neat. And so I'm hoping at some point Corey can, you know, make the move and come on over to Houston, and he can stay on my fourth floor if he needs to temporarily, like before.
Of course.
Corey really looking at his phone right now? I can't.
I am. So I'm trying to Legally, like, I'm trying to see if it's public, some earnings report.
Oh.
So I could talk trash to Mark about upstream versus downstream, but I couldn't quickly find it. So I don't know what I'm legally obligated. What I can say legally. Yeah, I'm trying to sauce on you because I don't think it's ever going to happen again. But alas, I couldn't find it. So I just by a certain metric, I think my, downstream where we do work on problems related to selling oil products as well as No, we don't sell data. That was not a Freudian slip. Selling oil products and selling, creating post-oil products, crude oil doesn't. The oil you get directly from the ground, you can't immediately put that into your car.
I see.
But yeah, so that's what I do downstream. What Mark said he does for upstream, pretty accurate to what I understand. Yeah, it's a bummer you don't want to get relocated to over here to California.
Corey is loving it over there.
Yeah.
I know.
Sure you are.
So even though we work in different roles, we do collaborate every here and there because our company supports us like competing in some Kaggle competitions twice a year.
Yep.
Why do we keep getting sauced in those, Mark? Is it your fault? Is it my fault? Can Sagar be here to mediate and put the blame all on you?
No. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
It's definitely rigged, I think.
It is. Did you guys just say rigged? That's a great one.
Not rigged. It's not rigged. What are you talking about? I know people who've won. They deserve to win.
Fake news.
Or
fake news. Oh my goodness.
So I think one of the main reasons is because we like to be last minute with things and just say, oh hey, why don't we just try this and see what happens?
That's just
two or three, submissions to the competition. And then we quickly realize how far from the top we are in terms of the score we're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And we also realize that it takes something like 80 submissions to like really narrow down the final model that you want. And that means you have to have 2 submissions a day for 40 days, which is probably the duration of the competition. And like the most we've ever gotten is probably like 5 over a competition period. So I think like lack of dedication to actually doing it, a lot of it is me being like, oh, hey, have you worked on it? No, have you? No, LOL. Now it's me neither. And so, sometimes like work picks up and that takes a priority over the competition itself. And we will win one of these days, Bundle of Anchors, our team.
I swear we're going to win one.
Well, if we dedicate, we can crack, top 5, I think. But I think the problem is it has not been at the forefront of either of our agendas for when.
Not at all.
Very well said. But you know what? I feel like if you want to win at Kaggle competitions, copy paste some code, buddies.
Hold on.
Look at some.
What code, though?
Of the other kernels, copy paste it, see where it gets you, and then use your brain.
Oh, okay. Like what kind of model should I be after? Or should I just look for best performers on similar problems?
If gradient boosting does not work, you know what to do, Corey. Neural net, buddy.
Well, we try to. I think that's another problem with us. We always try to go for the neural net and it takes like 2 weeks to build up.
Obviously.
That's true. We go all out immediately. Like no baseline models, just like complex network. As quick as humanly possible.
Oh man.
And then it doesn't work out well. But
whoa. No, that's
all in the feature engineering, I think.
Feature engineering is a big one.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying copy code. People generally do it well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get all the features.
Yeah.
And then run your neural nets. That's my solid advice. A person who's never participated or won or come in last in any competition. Okay. Sorry, moving on.
You never come in last in any competition. I don't believe
people
that.
People who don't try, Corey, they don't come last. They have no position on the leaderboard. Okay. Too much of that talk. So, Mark, one thing that came up, so Corey and I, we were deciding on what questions to ask you. And Corey said he does not know you enough. But I said, wait, hold on, Corey.
Hold up.
We know that Mark used to eat beef and rice every day in the MSBA. And what we do want to know is, does Muay Thai, is it? Does it require...
Muay Thai.
Right, that. Does it require you to be on a diet, or can you still eat rice and beef all day long?
So depends on if you want to be good at it or if you want to compete. I have yet to do either of those things. And so...
Wait.
still kind of eat whatever I want, but a lot of it is still beef and rice because it's simple and I don't really know how to cook anything else. So I got a pan and that is... like, you know, 50% of my meals, the other 50% is like eggs and toast.
Oh, wow.
You know, could be worse. yeah.
Corey eats steak out
could be a lot day, better.
So, yeah.
It could be a lot.
What, every day?
Takeout.
Takeout? No, I don't eat takeout every day.
You don't cook, Corey. I know you don't.
No, I just cooked potato soup like right before this call.
Potato soup. Now you see that, Mark? That's like worse.
Baked potato soup.
Potato soup. I can't believe you eat potato soup, Corey.
It's good.
Well, you used to eat what? Peanut butter, jelly, and a banana every day?
Yep.
Oh, I do every day for lunch, Monday through Friday.
Oh man.
Monday through Friday I eat PB&J. I don't eat a banana now. Bananas are too expensive here in California.
Oh, really?
I eat some chips. Yeah. They're super expensive over here in California.
You should get them from Houston or Austin.
Oh, yeah, right?
It's cheaper here, Corey.
I know.
Bananas would be like 20 or 30 cents cheaper per pound. It's something crazy like that.
We now know what to get Corey for his birthday.
And then I, of course, pay my Chick-fil-A tax on every Saturday. So Chick-fil-A, please sponsor our show. Thank you very much.
Oh. One meal per episode. That's all we need.
One meal per episode? I mean, more than one would be really nice.
I mean, one meal
per
episode. Let me make it very clear, Chick-fil-A, in case you're confused and not listening at all right now. All righty. So, Mark, as we near the end of our show, we like to ask participants for their favorite memory of the MSBA. Now, my favorite memory of the MSBA about you is when Ghosh pointed at you and shouted at you for not listening. That was funny.
Yeah.
What is and I think it's the same day when he called you green shirt boy or green shirt.
It was. I should have worn that shirt today and
you should have, yeah.
Beautiful event.
But what is your favorite memory of the MSBA?
I would say probably feeling like, so at the beginning, as you mentioned, I, you know, was a bridge student and I felt like when I came to the program, everybody was kind of already tight knit and like everybody kind of knew each other. And I remember Erica introduced me. I think we were going on a field trip to Indeed, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And she was like, oh, hey, this is Mark. He's going to be with you for, you know, the fall and the spring. And so I, you know, it was tough at first kind of to know where to sit, kind of like know where, you know, who to talk to. But I think it was cool when I, you know, officially got inducted into the Back Row Boys and added to the Slack channel.
Oh, yeah.
And so just everything that really came out of that, I know it's not a specific answer, but just like, you know, going to get a pinch with Ryan every day, you know, chicken and rice and, you know, going out and getting sushi with everybody and, you know, watching Clay, you know, just buy everybody beer as long as
I remember.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I just felt like I just instantly made like, you know, a group of new friends. And I didn't feel like an outsider for more than 2 days, which is really cool. But yeah, so I know it wasn't a specific answer, but I just think, you know, getting that. Well, actually I can give you a specific.
First, I'll give you a specific. Okay, let's hear it.
Go for it.
So the first time I ever tried to play Tetris,
I remember how bad you were.
Very competitive guy, and so, you know, they over here saying, dude, this is how you got to pass the time in class. This is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think I ever surpassed Corey's like very first attempt.
Nobody did.
It was unbelievable how good he was. And every day he would just up his high score.
I know. He's my arch nemesis.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on that. And so fun memory was learning to play Tetris and then playing.
You're learning to play Tetris?
Still learning.
Yeah. Oh God. Did you ever break 200,000? So for the audience at home who obviously weren't here to witness my meteoric rise in Tetris scores, I think my first score ever was like 230,000. And then eventually I got up to 400,000 and I said to everyone, okay, this is it. I don't think anyone's like, I'll ever beat 400,000. Then I got to 500,000. Then I got to 600,000. And then I think I finally plateaued around 700,000 on level 25, just for anyone who's trying to keep kind of those points and try to beat that score. That's how far you got to go. But yeah, it was incredible. And I think this actually all took place over the span of like,
I think it's spring.
Four weeks. I think it only took like a month or 4 weeks.
A month
to really
or so.
Get this high. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Anywho, Mark, did you ever beat 200,000? I think that was your goal.
I'm being generous saying I ever beat 100,000. It would get way too quick, and I couldn't make the split decisions, and you got to be so forward thinking, and you know that's just not my game.
Corey's optimization game.
I feel you.
I remember.
That is what they call me. Yep, that's what they call me. Even though you beat me on the final by 1 point.
That's why I reminded you, Corey. You might be.
And that was the difference between an A- and an A in that class. It was a 1 point. It was 1 point on the final.
Oh, man. I can't believe I did that to you. I'm so sorry, buddy. I mean, right. I know
no,
I did
it's
not.
On, it's on me. It's on me. No,
I did not.
It's good.
Alrighty, now is a fun segment special. Do you have a special message for someone in the program, or just a special message for a special someone in code language?
Girlfriend,
understand?
Special message. I would say so. Yes, to someone in the program, and I'm actually for the first year after the program, I wasn't a mentor for MSBA students, but this year I am.
I am too.
And say that don't let the program, you know, be too daunting or too nerve wracking. I think they throw a lot at you very quickly, especially over the summer. And so I would say just give it time and be patient and know that you're not the only one having a panic attack. Sometimes it's, I bet during, you know, the quarantine, it also is pretty easy to feel like you're like alone and having to do everything by yourself. But, you know, luckily I had great classmates like Corey and Sagar to help lift me through and help me when I needed, like when Sagar explained right before an exam how to use a Z table. And that ended up helping me. So, you know, you never know, you know, who around you knows something that you don't. So I would say just be patient and trust the process.
Excellent.
The process. Has that translated to your Chevron work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's, you know, I've learned a lot since like starting work, just because, you know, real world problems are always going to be different than your kind of cookie cutter data sets and problems you do in a classroom. But, you know, I think just finding, you know, new efficient ways, different softwares to use. And even when I got to Chevron, it was, you know, kind of intimidating because they were like, hey, you know, you're on all these projects and this is what we're trying to do. Can you do it? And I'm just like, well, hold on. I don't even have an oil and gas background. So I was like, well, let me understand that. And then let me try and approach it from a data science perspective. But, I definitely think I have a much better grip now than I do, you know, still learning new things every day. But I mean, compared to the beginning, I'm just, you know, a whole different, you know, whole different skill set, it feels like. So trust the process.
Trust the process indeed. All righty. Actually, you know, while you were talking about the program, I kind of remembered my favorite memory of Mark has to be our capstone project. I cannot believe I did not say capstone project, because I believe it was the best project I had in the MSBA program.
Oh yeah. Like,
Corey, I don't think you know, but the first day that we met, me, Mark, Pushan, and Allison, we actually got shouted at by Allison for being late to the meeting. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be hell for the next 4 months. But in fact, like towards the end of it, I think we had such a blast just meeting, I don't know, 2-3 times or maybe even every day. And then just working through the problem that we had and just finding a solution and putting that into a deck. I think that was the most fun I ever had. And then obviously social media is next. So that's why Corey is getting all emotional.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you, man?
Sorry, second place.
That was the most well-run project you've ever been a part of. It was.
I can't deny that, though. But yeah, I do remember like the capstone project has to be like a highlight of my MSBA life, and that's thanks to Mark.
Alrighty
then. All right.
Corey, do you want to do the last question for this evening?
Yeah, I'll take us away for the episode. So now that you've gone through stochastic gradient descent, is there someone that you kind of want to see or hear go through the same podcast, through the same ringer of Sagar and myself?
Yes, and that would be Clay Mason, 100%. Ooh. I don't know if he's on your radar yet, but I know that he took kind of a different track than the rest of us after the program, and so it'd be interesting to see kind of where he is in his journey and if he's, you know, what he's doing with the skills he learned from MSBA, if, you know, who knows. Plus he, you know, of our tight-knit group, I feel like it's probably been the, you know, I haven't talked to him in the longest. You know, I've still like checked in with, you know, Ryan and, you know, Amy now and then.
Right.
So.
Fair enough.
That's my recommendation, but.
Clay Mason, you're our next target.
Watch out.
And when you say, you know what happened to me the other day? I was at Jester King. And who do I see sitting at the next table? You want to guess? Abraham.
Abe?
Oh, really? Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. There was a bunch of people. So I saw him and I was like, looks like Abraham, but I can't be sure because he's facing the other way. And I was just like, yeah, I'll take a shot. And I just said, hey, Abraham. And he turned around and it was Abraham. And that was the most awkward 5 minutes I ever spent. Because we really don't know what to say to each other. Like, I mean, if there's anything called the truth is we don't have anything to say to each other. We were just like,
oh, whatever. When was this?
I think it was this past weekend, or maybe the one weekend before.
You could have asked him how quarantine's going.
I mean, he was there with a bunch of friends. I didn't want to take up a whole lot of time.
So he could ask you how quarantine was going.
Looking good, buddy. I mean, I think he's quarantining at home, saving some rent. I think he wrapped up. I don't think he has that apartment in Houston anymore. So I think he shifted out, moved out. Shifted is such an Indian term. So he moved out. But yeah, he's saving some rent right now. So if you guys are ever in Austin, we should all meet up.
I agree.
And yeah, we'll see what we can do.
I agree.
Yeah, we all went and moved away.
And so, Mark, that's the end of our second episode. Well done. You answered all of our questions very honestly. Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for doing it.
Hey there, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 2. Just like the first episode, we've got some bonus content. This time around, Mark and I are going to teach Sagar how UT football works. Yeah, hook 'em.
Actually, last year I saw my first football game.
That's right.
Like in
a UT
stadium.
Football game?
Sorry?
Was it UT?
Yeah. Like right here.
Yeah.
I mean, at the stadium. It was kind of fun. Like I see why you guys like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably more fun. It's probably more fun when your team isn't the Longhorns.
Why, really? Do they suck so bad?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, let Mark awesome. Say, because he went there 5 years. Four years? 5 years.
Yeah, they let you down every season. They hype them up. They say Texas is back, and then they prove otherwise. And they did it 4 years in a row. So.
But they win bowl games. They'll win the games that actually, like, matter at the end after they've thrown their season.
Right.
I see.
It's go for gold or nothing. Boom or bust.
That's right.
So the Longhorns don't do well under pressure is what I'm getting from you guys. It's like when they have nothing to lose, they start winning. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
No. They have like a symptom where they play to the other team's level every single game.
Oh.
And so what happens is when we get to like the bowl game to win a bowl, whatever that means, we end up getting paired against a really good team. And then we play really good to play this really good team.
Oh.
But then, like, a few years ago, we lost to freaking Kansas, and they're a basketball school.
Yeah, and that was just so disheartening. I think that every time we play a bad team, they think it's going to be an easy victory, and then they just don't try, or their true colors come out. Who knows?
Oh,
that's right.